So where were you actually in the September of 89?
By that time, I'd become rector of Liminge, which is just above Folkestone. I had five parishes there. Having had the position of Colonel Secretary, the bandmaster at the barracks actually phoned me up. And in fact, I'd heard about the bomb or the blast first thing in the morning when I'd come back from morning prayers. And I came home, I was just having my breakfast, and we listened to the radio, and they said there's been a gas blast. I looked at my watch, and it was about the time, just after 8, 25 past 8, 20 past 8, somewhere there, when I thought, well, the lads are just coming off the parade. They will have gone into the, to have their coffee and whatever, which we always did. I mean, I was one of them at one point at the barracks there as well, so I would have done exactly the same thing. So I knew that, I thought, well, that's a bit odd, a gas blast. I can't remember any gas being anywhere there. So then later on they said, oh, it had been a bomb. And shortly afterwards, the bandmaster phoned me up and said, there are a lot of vicars wandering around here, Frank. We don't know any of them. Please, could you come and help, you see? Well, I had a funeral myself early in that afternoon, which I had to do. So I did the funeral, and as soon as I could, I came over to deal with my son. He gave me a little bit of backing, because by that time I had learned that there'd been an awful blast here, and people were injured and all kinds, and also I'd heard the news on the phone from the bandmaster. And so I rushed over here. When I got here...
What sort of time are we talking about now?
We're talking about in the afternoon. I got here about just before 4, or around right. about 4 o'clock, after having done the funeral where I, down there. So when I arrived, I thought, well, they would have all been sorted by that time. You know, things would have been done. I went up to my old office, and because there was still chaos there, it was the, my office which I'd had for some years. 4 years I was Colonel's PA there. And things were going on. The people there were harassed. I could see that they were very tired. People had been phoning them up, calling in, all kinds of important people, asking about who was killed, who was where, and whatever. So anyway, coming in the office, the bandmaster was very pleased to see me. I joined George Lings, who was at the time St. George's parish priest. And we joined together, and he was good at the computer. I thought, well, I can help these guys by getting something down on paper so that they don't have to keep answering these questions to people who come in and just call willy-nilly, because it's completely wearing them out. So George was good at the computer. I knew where things were. I knew how to get the information from hospitals and where who had died, who was still... at which hospital, because they were all over the place. George got the information onto the computer. He was quick at that, a bit quicker than me. So he put it all down there and listed who was dead, who was injured, where they were, which hospitals. And so that when the parents came, which started to arrive in limousines and all kinds of transport, so then they, when they came up the office, all that they had to do was just to rip off from the computer. It was one of these early computer things which had a roll of paper which had the perforated edges that could be just torn off and given to the people. So that's at least alleviated some of the hassle from the people in the office there. So we did that. But at the same time, there were still families waiting to hear who was dead and of their loved ones down in the sergeant's mess there. And the adjutant, I'm not sure what normally the duties of the adjutant to go and tell bereaved, inform them. But on this occasion, one of the families, it was about 7 o'clock at night when they finally heard, and they had to hear from myself and George. Well, George being the vicar, he was sort of more official than me, just wandering around and helping people. So I thought, well, I'd come down with you, George. I'll pray for you, and which I did on the way down, so that the Lord will give you the right words to say to these poor people who were bereaved. When we actually arrived at the sergeant's mess, this particular family, they'd been waiting so long because the dental records had to be checked of these two people, one who was dead and the other one still alive, but both faces were so badly mutilated that they didn't know who was who, you see. So that's why the family had to wait until the dental records had been checked, so that then they knew who it was that had died. And unfortunately, it was the young man whose family was waiting down there. So anyway, as George went down there and I went with him, when we arrived, not only was his whole family were there, brother and sister and wife and father and goodness knows who was there. Of course, you couldn't just gather them together and give them all them. We took them apart. I took some of the family to one side. George took the others. So to my surprise, I had to tell them myself, you know, and actually take part in telling the families that their son had been killed. The family knew me because I had been the colonel's secretary, and I'd been paying the men, and I'd also conducted the men in some of the concerts as a bandmaster. So when I conducted them, they knew me. So I had a personal contact with the families in that way.
Seemed a very sensible decision to bring you in. And who, the bandmaster, who would that have been? Yeah,
Graham Harvey. So Graham phoned me up, and anyway, so that's how I became involved, and I just came up and helped where I could. Now, after I had let this family know, when we got back to the office, people were still at the office, and families were still arriving, trying to find out where their son was. And of course, we'd written down all the things on these sheets. The drivers didn't know where the hospitals were. I did. And so my next job was to take the families in the limousines to the different hospitals. Dover, we had Ramsgate, we had Canterbury, and of course Deal Hospital was here. So I was just taking them to those places, and I could see the men there that had been injured as well. So I took part in that. Doing just that.
So by what time of the day did you eventually finish?
Well, I finished about 11 o'clock at night. I went back down home to Liminge, and really in some ways that was the end of my participation with the actual event on that day. You know, I just helped where I saw it was practical, particularly in my old office. I knew the place, I knew the barracks, I knew where things were, but I was surprised that by 4 o'clock they were still digging bodies out of the rubble, you see. That absolutely sort of got me a bit, because I thought all that would have been cleared.